This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry today. Thank you so much for listening. And we begin with major developments in Syria this week. The Syrian army has now retaken 75% of eastern Aleppo, which rebels held for the last 4 years. On Thursday, Russia's foreign minister Sergei Lavrov announced a halt to combat in the city. The intention was to permit the evacuation of nearly 8,000 civilians trapped in that war zone. But aid workers say the fighting has not stopped. Here's Pavel Krishik, the communications coordinator for the International Committee of the Red Cross in Syria.
Unfortunately, the prospects right now in Aleppo City are not getting better. The fighting continues to spread in more and more districts. Yesterday, for instance, in one of the districts of Aleppo's old city, we managed to evacuate 150 civilians from the elderly house that was sheltering people with disabilities, mentally ill patients, orphans that were for days trapped there on the front line in the middle of the fighting without any possibilities for us to actually rescue them. Unfortunately, some people did not make it. We were late. 11 people actually died before we managed to arrive, but it's only tip of an iceberg of what is really, really needed, or what will be needed if this fighting continue at such intensity.
Pavel Krishik spoke with us on Thursday and will return to Aleppo this weekend. A possible deal between the U.S. and Russia that would permit Syrian rebels to leave Aleppo unharmed and allow civilians to evacuate is reportedly still being discussed. Secretary of State John Kerry and Sergei Lavrov have been having sideline discussions at international meetings. So far, those discussions have led to no agreement. Robin Wright is joint fellow at the U.S. Institute of Peace and the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars and a contributing writer for The New Yorker. And she says the fighting in Aleppo is a major turning point in what's been a nearly six-year conflict.
Well, the United States wants more than just a temporary ceasefire. It wants to ultimately to find some kind of diplomatic resolution. The Russians, on the other hand, feel they have the upper hand, that their ally in Damascus, President Bashar Assad, is now on the winning side, because Aleppo really is a psychological and political turning point, as well as a military conquest. This is the largest city in Syria. It has been a symbol for almost a year now of the raging battle and the fight for the soul and identity and direction of Syria. And so the best we can hope out of this negotiation is probably a short-term ceasefire that will allow more civilians to leave. The problem, of course, is many of the rebels already fear that if they give up, if they stop fighting, that they're basically dead men, whether they're hauled into prison or worse, that the loss of Aleppo means, you know, that there's nothing in the future. And that has implications for the outside world, too, because the rebels that the West has backed now for so long have failed to be able to protect their own territory and are not much of a viable force, at least in Aleppo.
That suggests in some way, Robin Wright, that the choice for the United States here in this negotiation over Aleppo is saving the lives of some of these civilians who might be able to evacuate if there's a ceasefire on the one hand, and on the other hand, selling out anti-Assad rebels who we've been backing, at least putatively, during this entire war.
The tragedy is that for the United States and its Western allies, there have never been a lot of attractive options in Syria that would lead to the kind of outcome they preferred. And the United States has backed rebel forces. They were never large enough, never well-armed enough, never cohesive enough to present a viable challenge long-term to President Assad. And this war has now gone on for 6 years. And at this point, one of the amazing things is that President Assad not only has survived 6 years after many predicted he would be gone in a matter of weeks, but that he may actually come out of this at least a partial winner.
Robin Wright, the former U.S. ambassador to the Syria transition, Frederick Hoff, was on the show last week, and he said that in his view, there's still time in the Obama administration in these last 40 days or so for the president to demand military options just to help stop the slaughter in Aleppo. Is there any possibility of anything like that in a realistic scenario here?
There are probably no viable military options that would prevent the fall of Aleppo, eastern Aleppo, where the rebels have been fighting. They've lost something like 75% of the area. They may be able to hold some corner, some pocket, but ultimately will be very hard for them to live under siege with limited access to things like electricity and water and food. So the battle is, it would seem at this stage, almost over.
So what is this moment then for U.S. foreign policy? It's worth looking at because we're really caught now between two things, it strikes me, between the sting of the experience of adventurism in Iraq and what that did to American foreign policy and the ideals of, you know, the Samantha Power Doctrine. The United States intervenes on behalf of beleaguered people when we can use our might to save their lives, a place like Rwanda, for instance, or Kosovo. Basically, we have U.S. paralysis here. What's the best way to see the U.S. posture now in the Middle East with Russia on the rise, Assad probably staying on, and Donald Trump taking over power?
Well, first of all, the war in Syria is not over. There are still significant parts of the country not under President Assad's control. In Idlib province, for example, the largest of the five al-Qaeda franchises in the world now has a strong base, and there will continue to be operations there. You still have ISIS operating in Syria. One of the ironies is that the United States and its allies on the ground, the Iraqi military, are making progress against ISIS, and that the largely Kurdish militia in Syria is making progress against ISIS. ISIS has lost a total of 40% of its caliphate, 57% of its territory in Iraq, almost 30% of its territory in Syria. On one military front, there is hopeful news. But of course, the big question is, what follows the Islamic State? And this is one place where there's a real challenge for the next administration. There are a lot of political questions, the ones that are not just military. But to your question about the United States, it is clear that when it comes to Syria, which is in many ways one of the most geostrategically important countries in the entire Middle East because of all the countries it borders, because of its location, that Russia and Iran and their allies in Hezbollah from Lebanon come out far ahead of the others. But the battle's not over. There are five different wars playing out in Syria, and the one between the rebels and President Assad is only one of them.
Robin Wright, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you.
Robin Wright is joint fellow at the U.S. Institute of Peace and the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.